Campus Chronicles is the ultimate podcast for college students seeking real stories, honest advice, and empowering insights to thrive in student life and beyond. Hosted by Brooke Young and the Campus Chronicles team, this weekly show features inspiring interviews, practical tips, and conversations that tackle the challenges, wins, and personal growth that comes with university life. Perfect for college students, campus leaders, and young adults looking to make the most of their journey, one episode at a time. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube, and join the community redefining what it means to thrive in university. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to this wonderful guest that we have today. His name is Kevin Roche, and he is a veteran in the investment world. And I know that world can be so challenging to understand, but Kevin is here to break it down for us. And we are so appreciative to have you.
Thank you very much. And veteran is just another way to say I'm old. So thank you very much. A kind way to say what I do and who I am.
Well, Kevin, you do a lot because you're involved in the investment world, but you're also involved in the education side, teaching undergraduates about how to manage their money. But before we get into all of that jazz, give us a little insight into who you are, your background story.
Sure. I spent over 25 years as an analyst working for a company investing in stocks and individual bonds. And then I rose to the ranks of portfolio manager and a member of a strategic committee for fixed income. I ran over $1 billion in pension fund money for pensions around the world. And then I decided to launch my own investment advisory business for large family offices, private businesses or family-owned businesses. And then I decided I was looking at the next generation and knowing that the next generation is someone who's going to be running their money or growing and accumulating wealth. And I needed to understand how could I connect and deliver a message that had relevance to them.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Relevance to them, because the way that the business world has changed is tremendous, especially with the rise of TikTok and influence. And I think that there's so much misinformation about personal finance when we think about the internet.
Right. I don't think it's so much misinformation, but I think it is a specific message about a specific topic. And I think when someone tries to apply a specific message to a general topic, it often creates a disaster. So one of the things that I encourage students to do, or young adults and adults just entering the workforce, is to really learn the basics and foundational principles of investment management.
Mm-hmm. So before we shift into that, were you always interested in money? Was it always a passion for you?
It was not. I was in college. I graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in English Literature. I was sitting in a class for a master's in English Literature and decided to not do this anymore and closed my books and walked out. I also worked for the Department of Justice for a little bit of time to get my feet wet in just getting a job in the early 90s. And from there, I wanted to really pursue investment management. So I started on the very ground floor of customer service for Fidelity Investments or for a large investment advisory firm, and worked on people's retirement plans, just helping them from a company perspective, helping them with their plan specific investments, allocation, withdrawals, management of how they can handle retirement and the cash withdrawals and all the responsibilities associated with that.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably where the passion grew.
It did. It was something of, because I grew up one of five boys. My parents were both educators, and it was something that was entirely different from what my family had been exposed to. But it was always something that you started to see this accumulation of wealth and how that could be beneficial. And so when we looked at retirement plans, or when I started in this customer service area, talking to people about their retirement plans, these are people who have jobs, they work hard, they contribute to a plan, and now they're looking for that next chapter. And how are they fundamentally or financially prepared to be able to live out those golden years?
Mm-hmm. And when we think about, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, young people, there's a big balance between wanting to live your life and enjoy your life and then being responsible in terms of planning for your future. How do you think people strike that?
Right. So it's a really interesting thing. And one of the first things that I teach is we look at life as a bell curve, and where the preparation for today really helps in the benefits of tomorrow. And so if you start to contribute or accumulate wealth at an earlier age or early age, it's going to compound, which means it's going to grow upon itself or in and of itself. And then when it's time for those withdrawals, you don't have to work as hard. So, you know, we always say it's a younger man's game. It's a younger person's game in terms of working hard. And it's a variety of reasons. When you think about it, you start off at a modest salary, you learn, you gain experience, and then you gain expertise, and you're getting paid for that expertise. But at some point, someone else will also be gaining expertise. And can an employer hire that person more cheaply, or have you just lost that relevance and are too expensive? You've essentially priced yourself out of a market, and having the nest egg, or having that balance that you've accumulated over the years from when starting at an early age or earlier age to invest, that gives you the cushion and freedom, the financial freedom to do what you're passionate about, to rediscover why you did something in the first place. And it's a great story, because as a 20-something year old, you have this vision or this dream of being someone or being something, experiencing something. And you know, through that hard work, you're going to achieve that. And the ability to do so financially, the ability to achieve that goal, has a financial cost or financial benefit. If everything is put in place, you can now make that dream a reality. And that freedom is something that I think people don't know how to define or should look to and take that as a map to get to where you want to be.
Yeah, I love that word, freedom. That's beautiful. And I think we all want that. And so many people, myself included, for a long time felt that saving was the way to get there versus investing. Can you break down why saving is important, but you still need to focus on investment? Because I think there's maybe some, not to say misinformation, but there's a little bit of confusion there.
Sure. Well, savings is, it really, and let's take it into two different silos. So savings is used for your working capital or for your day-to-day functions. So if you're paying your bills, if you've got rent, if you've got a car payment, if you've got a student loan payment, that's where your savings comes in. So it's being able to afford, how do you live on a day-to-day basis? And then you've got something left over that might be a disposable income, whatever's left over from paying your expenses or paying for your daily living. That savings or that disposable income can be broken down into two parts. A little bit would be used for going out for dinner, going to a concert, maybe saving up for a vacation, something that's going to be shorter term in nature, where the need is shorter term in nature. Whereas investing is something that's going to be a longer term horizon. And that horizon is going to be, let's say, something in excess of 3 years and going forward. So you're not going to need that cash right away. But the reason we invest is because of this rule of compounding. And so if we assume that in year one, we have a 10% return, well, if you compound on that, the next return is going to be 10% of 110 or 1.10. So that becomes 1.21. And then it just continues to build up throughout that time frame. And that's the difference between investing. Investing is really this compounding effect of making money in 1 year and then using that same amount, that new amount or new balance of money, and then getting the similar or same rate. And that just grows exponentially. So it's a great exercise. And I would say there's a number of financial calculators to be able to look at with regards to the compounding. So, you know, the difference, again, for savings, it is an immediate need, and investing is a longer term goal, longer term dream.
Mm-hmm. What would you say to someone who is fearful that the amount they have to invest is too small?
No amount is too small. Everybody has to start somewhere. And I think that's some of the challenges or some of the misinformation of instant gratification or this instant overnight success. And I think you have to look at this, you have to look at this as a marathon rather than a sprint. And, you know, when you think about that, you can't really get to the finish any faster than someone else. And so with the investing, the misconception is that I'm going to put in a small amount and it's going to grow 100x. And the ability to do that is so infrequent that it almost becomes deficient in terms of your ability to gain success or to find a way for success. So that's the challenge. And I think if we look at that small amount will grow and just continue to grow throughout that course of the year. The important thing is that if you do it steadily, it will, that small amount that becomes a big amount.
Mm-hmm. I've read a lot that consistency is so important.
Right. And I think that applies to many things, not just in finance, but it's with life. It's with your education. It's with reading and staying up on current events. It's with trying to do something as simple as running, or, you know, every part that we get to in our lives is through consistency. And that's really what matters in terms of having habits, which then become routine. And that will ultimately lead to success.
Mm-hmm. And staying disciplined in terms of finance.
Right.
Staying the course.
I have a saying that the concept is easy, the execution is hard. And if we all agree that it's, you know, I'm going to make $1 million, or I'm going to go to this school, or I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to run that marathon, or if I'm going to do whatever, that's a great plan. And the plan might be simple. I'm just going to wake up every morning and I'm going to do this, or I'm going to save 20% of my salary. And the execution gets a little hard because life gets in the way. There might be things that we want to do, or there might be spontaneous things that we that occur, that come up. And the important thing is if it's always, as you mentioned, it's a bit of discipline, but it's also giving yourself a little bit of grace and knowing that you can make small mistakes or you can do smaller amounts. But the important thing is however you decide you want to make that choice, maybe it's, if I'm investing $100 and I really only want to invest 50 this time around, then just invest the 50 and know that you've contributed something rather than nothing. Something is much better than nothing.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I know for me, at least, I've been intimidated to look at my finances, to think about my money in the past, not so much now. What do you say to someone who is intimidated? Because I think it can be very confronting to look at your own numbers.
Sure. The importance of I think, the realization, looking at your numbers, and it's not going to go away. In like anything, if you ignore a problem, it only gets bigger. So if you can tackle that head on, if you can rip the Band-Aid off, if you will, then it's going to make all the difference, because being able to confront the issue allows you to create a plan. And I think the other part is knowing that you don't have to go at it alone. I think that there are always members of your family or friends who you can lean on, or who might have the same exercise as you, or the same issues that you have. It's a difficulty in that being able to acknowledge it, but also being able to ask for help, I think, is an important part.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And the students that you teach, how do you see their perception around finance change through working with you, learning from you?
Well, one of the most important things that I always start each class with is what's happening in the world today. And it has a lot of latitude. It could be anything from a sports team who maybe had a great game last night, or someone who lost. It could be something about a company acquiring another company. It could be about earnings. It could be about the government. It could be about something from another country. The important thing is to really look at it as a globalization. And then what I like to do is to take that lesson or those talking points that we started in the beginning of class and to apply them into what that lesson would be in class for that day. And what that means is really, if we're talking about stocks and financial statement analysis, which I think people in class, they enjoy, but again, it's something that they probably looked at a couple of semesters prior and then they just forgot about it. I take that company, we'll actually download the financial statements, and we just start to go through and piece the ratios and understand the definitions and meaning behind them so we can apply that. And then if we talk about investment management, or we talk about something called asset allocation, we can talk about why this company is different from another company and how we look at not just from the individual security or individual stocks, but also about the portfolio and portfolio construction. And so what the students have learned is that the top-down approach or portfolio construction can mean a number of different things. Generally, it's the same. It's a diversified selection of investment ideas, whereas the security selection is just one idea and really taking a very granular approach. And so what we try to do is get the student from the analyst who selects the ideas, selects the companies, to become the portfolio manager. And we're all our own portfolio managers. We're all going to be managing our own 401ks or our Roth IRAs. And we have to pick and choose how much money we're going to commit to an idea or to a mutual fund or to an ETF. And the students have said that they really enjoy that aspect of it. The other thing what we do is, which I've been very promotional about with my department, is finding and mentoring students to come up with an investment idea and a research report, and learning the ins and outs of a company to be able to present that. And it's something that they can take with them, not just that knowledge from class, but also to interviews. They can take it into their first and second jobs, and then start from a strong foundation.
I love that, because it's a very active role.
Right. And I think that's the way mentorship, especially with finance, should be. I was very fortunate when I started out, again, being a liberal arts major. I went to business school at night, and I had a portfolio manager who I worked for. We were in business school together, and he was very kind with his time and letting me know his thoughts in terms of trades he was making, how we were going to work on an allocation for the portfolios, how he looked at the world, what were some of the important aspects. And I was a sponge. I took that information, and that was almost 30 years ago. And I still retain that, the importance of connecting the dots, because by themselves, they might be a certain data point, but when you connect them and look at the information that is being shared between various dot plots or data points of information, it really helps you take or get a clearer picture of what's happening in the markets or what's happening to a company or a sector. And that's really what I try to instill in my students or the individuals that I mentor.
Okay, everybody, you heard it from Kevin. Be a sponge. Being a sponge is a very, very good thing. Now, Kevin, there's a question that I ask a lot of the people who come on the podcast. I'm very excited to hear what you've got to say. If you were going to give three pieces of advice to university students, what would the three pieces of advice be?
I think the first piece of advice is communication. One of the key things that I think is being able to communicate. And I'll use it as an example. I left the corporate world about 8 years ago to launch my own business. And I was very buttoned up, and I took a job while I had some time off to teach English to students in China. And these were elementary students, ages 10 and below. And I failed the interview twice because my ability to communicate to a younger audience, to elementary students, and thinking I was an animated person was not enough to get me over that hurdle. And it hurt. It hurt someone who is this partner in an investment firm, who wore a suit every day, who had a team of 12 analysts. And I was told that I was not good enough that I didn't communicate well enough to 5-year-olds. And it was eye-opening. It was know your audience. And so, you know, I would say as students just starting out, your audience when you're starting out are older individuals. They are people who you need to connect with on a information level, but also on a dialect level. So, you know, how we communicate is going to be key. And listening to the tenor, listening to the cadence of one's speech, is it too fast or is it a little slower? If you can mirror them and a little bit replicate what they're doing, it's going to give you a leg up, because then they can connect with you on a conversational level. It's a very important part. The second thing I would say is, don't be afraid to fail. I think failure is probably the underrated success story. And the reason I say that is, if you fail at something, you understand how important it is to you. And you have two choices. You're either going to keep going after it, or you're going to find something else that you're more passionate about. So success or failure, and in this case, failure, really depends on how passionate you are to continue to pursue that. A lot of people are going to be told no. Probably as you're looking for jobs, you'll send things out to 30, 40, 50 people and employers. You might only hear back from 3 of those people. Don't take it personally. And those may be rejection letters. But if it's something that you want to do, then you need to continue to pursue it. I didn't get to where I was because the first person offered me a job. I probably was told no hundreds of times. And that helps you learn and helps you grow. And looking at yourself from a 360 perspective can help you with that. And the third thing I would say is, you know, be relevant. And what does that mean? It means in the world of corporate finance or in the corporate world overall, right? You want to make a mark for yourself or make a name for yourself. So take on those projects, volunteer to work with an older group, or try and be part of something that is bigger than yourself. Be relevant to your friends, right? That time that you have it's finite. And when we think about the finiteness of the time, it's not going to be spent on your phone, right? It's not a parallel play. It is something of a moment. And share that. Be relevant to your friends. And then be relevant to yourself, right? Self-care is huge. Mental health is huge. So be relevant to yourself. You can't put off a fear. You can't put off taking care of yourself, because, again, if you don't address a problem, or you don't just give yourself some grace, it could become an issue.
I love all three of those points, but the first one, the first story about communication was beautiful. Everyone, you need to listen to that again, because it is so incredibly important, as is all the things Kevin said. Kevin, is there a quote, a mantra, a song that you live your life by?
Gosh. You know, I know the one my wife gave you, which is always funny.
And your daughter gave a song.
That she gave a song. I am kind of the other way. I look at the Theodore Roosevelt quote, "The man in the arena."
I like that.
And the very simplest way is, you know, whether you have a critic who tells you they could do it better, you're the person who is doing it, and you do it the way that you want.
That is beautiful. That is simple. I love that. That speaks to me today.
Oh, good.
Yes. So, Kevin, as we wrap up here, if somebody wants to follow you or learn more, where do they go?
Yeah, I'm not really on social media, to be honest.
I love that. See, Kevin is preserving his brain, his mental and emotional health. So when he said self-care is important, I'm just going to put in a plug for being unplugged, everyone, because it will make you feel fabulous.
I would say if you want to reach out to me, I am someone who looks on LinkedIn. I answer messages. But I'm not a social media person.
And take a page out of his book, because it is one of the best decisions you can make, even if you can only make it for an hour a day or 2 hours a day or a couple hours a week. Being away from social media, to reiterate, is really one of the best decisions you can make. But I'm really appreciative of you spending your time and your energy with us and sharing all your incredible insights. We are so grateful.
Thank you, Brooke. Appreciate having me.
Yes, and thank you so much for joining us on another episode of the Campus Chronicles podcast.
So if today's episode gave you life, perspective, or just a much needed moment to breathe in a busy world, I don't want you to keep it to yourself. Share it, tag us, please send it to a friend who needs to hear it. And if you're not on our newsletter yet, what are you doing? Go to campuschroniclespod.com and join the crew. We have all the behind the scenes things, unfiltered thoughts from me and the team, bonus resources, and insider only invites to events, giveaways, and things that we really don't post anywhere else. I promise I'm not going to spam you. It's just the good stuff straight to your inbox. Being in university is wild enough. You don't need to miss out on what matters. Sign up now and let's make this next semester the one that you stop surviving and start thriving. Until next time, stay bold, stay curious, keep writing your own chapter. This is Campus Chronicles.